If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Time for our weekly travel feature called Heading Off, and with bookings opening for the next season of Doc Walks, Great Walks and otherwise, lots of people are thinking about going bush. Well, yesterday, non-Great Walk sites opened for bookings in the South Island, and tomorrow they'll open in the North. So with us to talk about some of these lesser-known gems is Department of Conservation, Heritage and Visitors Director Kat Wilson. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you doing?
Is great the right word? Because non-Great Walks doesn't sound great.
Yeah, well, I think we're super lucky that we've got some really amazing walks, which we call Great Walks, and they are hugely spectacular. I don't know if you've done any, Jesse, or not, but they are fantastic.
I've had a little blat on the root burn, but with children, it's hard to get away for 2 or 3 days at a time, sadly.
Yeah. I've got the same problem. But we've also got just a huge number of really amazing walks all over the rest of the country as well. So I think in New Zealand we're pretty lucky.
So where are we at with bookings? How do you coordinate the two, the great walks and the non-great walks, the other walks? Well, let's just call them the good walks.
The good walks and the great walks. So we've started by opening up not just other huts, but some of the campsites, as you said. So yesterday the South Island campsites went online, and tomorrow we've got the North Island campsites opening up too. So, you know, I just think we're heading into gloomy winter time. We've just had daylight savings. Nothing better than getting out there and making a plan for next summer. So
totally.
That's what we're enabling people to do.
So do they open at the same time as the Great Walks or nah?
No, Great Walks come later. So okay. So we've got huts opening next Tuesday, and then we've got one of our really busy popular campsites, the Tōtaranui campsite.
Yeah.
That's going to open next Wednesday.
Is that the Abel Tasman one?
That's right. Yeah, at the end of the Abel Tasman walk.
Yeah. Oh, I've done a bit of that one as well. That's cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's great for kids too, for sure.
Okay, so that's the plan, and these ones that have opened
next
today.
Month we'll move into Great Walks. So what we're really just trying to do is make sure that we're pacing ourselves, so we get quite high volumes on some of these, and we just. I want to make sure we can, everything runs smoothly and people can get the help they need if they've got questions or queries or things move around. So we just space it out over a bit of time. But from mid-May, we'll be shifting into the Great Walks and they'll be opening up then too.
What is the difference in the level of quality or amazingness between a Great Walk and the best of the good walks?
So there are a few things. We put some good standards around our Great Walks that just mean, we know that people who use those Great Walks, often they're not the types that are regularly right up in the back country and have all of the specialist kit that you might need to be doing. So they're often a little bit less experienced. And they're doing this as a one-off because it's a really amazing thing to do. So we've got a few more things that we provide in the huts and, make sure things are just a little bit more comfortable. That doesn't mean the other huts that we've got aren't comfortable. They just might be a bit more basic in some ways. And also, again, there's a good variety of easier walks, walks for families with huts at the end of them that might be a two-hour tramp in and a two-hour tramp out that's really easy. So we've got a really good range, but we're just really specific about it for our Great Walks that, the track's in a particular condition the whole way. Less experienced people will find that really easy.
Yeah, cool. Did your site crash last year? What happened?
We did. So when we opened for the first of our Great Walks, the Milford track, we had a huge volume of people logging in to try and snatch their spot. So they were all able to make their booking, but it was a bit, the website just crashed out for a half hour there or so, so it wasn't seamless. So we just had to put a bit of a pause to make sure we had our system running in the back properly, and then when we reopened, we were able to get, there was a bit of a delay for people, but they were able to get their bookings in. And I can tell you that, you know, last summer we had very high occupancy rates for our Great Walks, so they were certainly getting well used.
Yeah. You put the price up this time. I guess that's what you do when your site crashes. You think, well, we could probably sell these at a higher price point.
Yeah, so not because the site crashed. That was different. That's just something we needed to fix up. But absolutely, when you've got so many people after some of those Great Walks, and I say some because there are some that aren't at full occupancy. So overall, last summer we had, I think, about 77% occupancy. Sorry, the summer that's, you know, just ended. But there are a few walks that, particularly ones that were having a few weather effects. You'll remember Old Gabriel and a few other big events we've had in the last couple of years. So the Heafy Track, we fixed the bridge up last October, and so we didn't have full occupancy because of that. And then the Whanganui River Journey, which obviously isn't a walk but fits in our Great Walk family, that's also got you know, capacity in there to have more people on it, and that's an amazing trip. Have you ever done that one?
No, that's one the wife's pretty keen on, actually.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then Lake Waikato Moana as well. That's the track in Te Ura Wera. That one also had some weather damage, and so that just opened up in January. So a bit lighter in numbers on those three, but the rest of it have been really popular. And campsites as well this summer. We, again, I think because of the atrocious weather the previous summer, but we saw not very many people wanting to go camping, which is fair enough. But this summer, you know, rates have gone right back up in terms of occupancy as well. So I think what we're seeing is more people coming in from overseas, and New Zealand is also really getting back out into the outdoors. So,
yeah, but the price increases, tell me about them.
Oh, yeah, so the price increases. So for the Great Walks, yeah, because of that high occupancy, we, for the top walks, we've increased the prices overall by 18%. There are a couple just that weren't included. So the Paparoa Great Walk, we'd already made some changes to the prices, so that went up 6%. And then Lake Waikato Moana, we'll be working with Tuhui about prices that there as well. So that wasn't included in the 18% either.
Yeah. Is it cheaper for Kiwis to do it than overseas visitors?
Yes, it is. Yep. There's a differential rate for international visitors. And again, that's just to make sure, you know, we're giving Kiwis a real opportunity to see these amazing places in their own country.
What's the split between international and local?
So it's a 50% additional charge.
Sorry, what's the split? If I was to do a survey of people in a big bunkhouse, how many would be Kiwis and how many would be overseas?
Oh, okay. So roughly at the minute, we're around, I think it's 65-70% Kiwis at the moment. Huh. So before COVID, it was a lot more internationals. But what we saw is through that COVID period, New Zealanders racing back into the Great Walks. I think there was probably a perception that they were, you know, that there were too many foreigners and it was harder to get a spot. But we saw a lot of New Zealanders going out and using the Great Walks, and that number has stayed probably higher than we expected over the last year or two, starting to go down a little bit, and internationals coming up, but it's still predominantly Kiwis.
Do you have targets for how many, what percentage of New Zealanders you wanted there?
No, we don't have a target.
Okay,
no.
Whatever happens.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you like? What do you like that isn't in the Great Walks?
Cool. So, look, there are so many, as I said, amazing places to go around the country. And again, you know, it really depends on what works for you. If you've got kids, there are some amazing short walks that you can do that might have a hut at the end of them. Some of the ones that we'd recommend, where we know that there are some, you know, good multi-day overnight tramps, but not a lot of people using them. And one is the Aotea Track in Great Barrier. So you've got beautiful bush, kauri and rimu forests, you know, just an amazing island in general, but the track is fantastic and there are lots of great huts in there if you're wanting to get away from the crowds. Down south, you know, you could try the Queen Charlotte Track. That's another one where there are some dock-managed campsites, but you can also get private accommodation along some of the track and cycling options as well, and that's a fantastic one. If you're wanting to head south, the Hollyford track is another really great one. You might need a hut ticket or a backcountry pass to go and use some of those, all different levels and grades. Some of the ones that I've taken my kids on, we went up to the Bushline Hut in St Arnold's a year or two ago. I bribed them with apricots to
right,
get to the top
right.
without complaining. And you know, it was fantastic. Like, the views are amazing. There are so many options around the place.
St Arnold's?
Northern South Island, so Nelson Lakes.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, beautiful spot.
Heaps of inspiration there. I love it. I love it. What, any final instructions for people listening when it comes to booking in?
Yeah, I think if you are thinking about going to some of our more popular sites, get in early. They are getting booked up in some of those popular sites. But if you've got an adventurous gene, then take a look around. Have a look on the DOC website. There are some phenomenal places to go, and you know, and we've got an amazing country with beautiful forest and bush and coastline. So go and check it out.
Love it, Kat. Thanks so much for your chat today.
Thank you.
Kat Wilson is DOC Heritage and Visitors Director, and she's been talking about some of the non-great walk sites which have opened up yesterday, more opening up tomorrow, and the great walk cabins and so forth still to come.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.